This is IBM, the Islamic Broadcasting Network. The following program is sponsored by the Islamic Media Foundation, sharing the guidance of Allah through broadcast media and the internet.
This is The Life of Muhammad with your host, Sheikh Anwar Al Awlaqi, Imam of Dar Al Hijra Islamic Center.
Sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan rajim, bismillah ar-rahman ar-rahim. Now, again, the verse is, and the book is delivered to him that is not learned, saying, read this, I pray thee, and he says, I am not learned. Now, the first verses revealed in Quran were,
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق خلق الإنسان من علق اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم.
Read, in the name of your Lord who created man from cloth. Read, and your Lord is the most bounteous, who teaches by the pen, teaches man that which he knew not. What is even more interesting, if we would go back to the original, which is in Hebrew, the word read is qara. So if one would go back to the original Hebrew, it is the exact same word as Arabic, qara. And it is spelled in English the way it's spelled in this book, Q-A-R-A, and it is pronounced ka-ra-u. The author of the book says, is it not an amazing coincidence that the Hebrew text used not only a word with the same meaning, but the exact same word itself? The prophecy continues, and it states that before the time of this man who will receive the book, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it says that the people would be forsaking the words of God for the precept of men. So it states that before the time of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, people would neglect the law of Allah and they would follow the law of man. And that is exactly what happened. Jesus, peace be upon him, came to fulfill the law of Moses. And then you have Saint Paul coming in and telling them otherwise. So Jesus was circumcised. Paul says, no, you don't have to circumcise. Jesus said, I came to fulfill the law, letter by letter, jot by jot, word by word. Paul said, no, you do not have to fulfill the law. So they left the law of God and they followed the law of man, which is a fulfillment of this prophecy. I could recite the whole prophecy. It says, and the vision of all is become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed. So there's a sealed book, which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, read this. And he says, I cannot, for it is sealed. So Quran was sealed. And even the learned men did not have access to it before Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because it was destined to go to the man who is unlearned. And the book is delivered to him that is not learned, saying, read this. And he says, I am not learned. Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. So now the people are following the words of men. The hijrah is mentioned, is prophesied in Habakkuk 3, verse 3. It says God, his guidance came from Teman, and the Holy One from Mount Paran. Selah, his glory, covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise. So it says, his glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise. It mentions two locations, Teman and Paran. Teman is, according to the J. Hastings Dictionary of the Bible, Teman is an oasis just north of Medina. So Teman stands for Medina. Teman would stand for Medina. It's a locality just north of Medina. Where is Paran? Paran and or Faran are Mecca. These are names of Mecca. And that is according to the Bible, because the Bible states that Hajar and Ismail were left in Paran. And obviously we know where Hajar and Ismail were left. They were left in Mecca. So the name Paran or Mecca are all different names of Mecca. So you have God coming from Teman, which is Medina. And you have the Holy One from Mount Paran.
We choose to go to the moon and do the other things, not because they are easy, but because they are hard.
We all face unique challenges in life. And through struggle, we progress. But what makes the difference between those who succeed and those who fail? It is a clear conviction in the higher ideals and purpose of life. Have faith. It works miracles.
This message is brought to you by your American Muslim neighbors and the Islamic Media Foundation.
Sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu.
Where did Islam spread from? Islam spread from Medina. It did not spread from Mecca. When Rasulullah ﷺ was making da'wah in Mecca, Islam was contained. The message was not spreading. The number of people who adopted it were very few. And Rasulullah ﷺ left Mecca because of the restrictions placed on him, because he was not allowed to preach the message. So the religion of Islam spread from Medina. That is when Islam went all over the world. So God came from Teman, meaning the guidance of Allah came from Medina. But then the verse goes on to say, the Holy One came from Paran. So the Holy One, which is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, came from Mecca. And then it states that his glory covered the heavens and the earth was full of his praise. And Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his name means praise, and the earth today is full of his praise. And this cannot fit anyone more than Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because there is not a single person in history who is praised more than Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this prophecy fits the hijrah exactly. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam making hijrah from Mecca to Medina, his religion spreading from Medina, and the world is full of the praise of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In Deuteronomy 18, 21 to 22, and if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord has not spoken? So here the Bible is telling us the acid test to know whether a man is speaking on behalf of God or not. How can we distinguish a liar from somebody who's telling the truth? It goes on to say, when a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. But the prophet has spoken it presumptuously. thou shalt not be afraid of him. If a prophet says something and claims that this is coming from Allah and it does not come to happen, then those words are not spoken by the prophet. Therefore, everything a prophet says will come to happen, will come to pass. Quran, which is the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala given to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is proving to us every day new miracles, scientific miracles, showing the truth of Al-Quran. Now, there might have been scientific verses in other books that preceded Quran that came to happen. But you would also find in those books mistakes, because they are written by men. With Quran, everything that it mentioned was proven to be true, and there are no contradictions in it, and nothing in Quran was proved to be false.
Sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Muhammad, the messenger of God, peace and blessings be upon him, said, "The world is a prison for the believer, a paradise for a rejecter of faith. The one who believes in God believes in the hereafter and thus believes in its eternality. That believer knows then that this life is a temporal station for which he or she is transported to their destination. They long to meet their Lord and hope for success in meeting him. One who is a rejecter of God is likened to the one who is a farmer who has a handful of seeds and proceeds to put those seeds into the earth, covering them with dirt. The rejecter of God is only different in that they are covering the seed of truth. They believe that this world is it, that there is no hereafter, and therefore take it for their paradise." Along those lines, the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, said, "Be in the world as if you were a stranger or a wayfarer." Again, the believer longs to meet his Lord, so he sees this world as a prison and therefore acts like a stranger in it. He is a traveler on a journey to the hereafter, striving for his destination.
Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
So not only did Quran prophesize about things that will happen in the future, but Quran does not contain any errors in it. Because, for example, out of pure coincidence and probability, a man 2,000 years ago can go ahead and write predictions about the future. One could occur to be true, and then 10 false. So we can't go and say, well, this man is receiving this information from God because it has one single thing that was mentioned in it talking about the future. For it to be from God, then everything in it needs to be true. And that holds true to no book other than Al-Quran. There's nothing in the Quran that has been disproved, and that will never happen. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has challenged the people in Quran to produce anything similar to it, and the challenge is still open, and nobody has been able to face the challenge of Allah in Quran. The challenge started by producing a book similar to it, and then it was reduced to 10 surah, chapters, and then finally one chapter. Now the challenge is to produce one chapter similar to Quran. In Isaiah 21:7, he saw a vision, and he saw a chariot with a couple of horsemen, a chariot of asses, and a chariot of camels. Christians would say that the chariot of asses is Isa alayhi salam, because he was the one who would ride a donkey. Who is the prophet who would ride a camel? Is there any other prophet who is known to ride a camel other than Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam? So this is a prophecy that is speaking about Jesus alayhi salam and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now it continues to say in 29:9, "And behold, here comes a chariot of men with a couple of horsemen. And he answered and said, Babylon is fallen, and all the graven images of her gods he hath broken unto the ground." Where is Babylon? In present day Iraq. Babylon is in Iraq. The prophecy is saying that this army will destroy all of the false gods of Babylon and will erase all of the images therein. Which army is that? Who is this army? Whose army is it that would go into Iraq and eliminate all of the idol worshipping and erase all of the images of idolatry that existed in Iraq? The only army that would fit this description is the army that was sent by Umar ibn Khattab to Iraq. And they have succeeded in opening Iraq and eliminating all of the false gods that existed therein. So this is another prophecy that has been fulfilled. Hijrah. In Isaiah 21, verse 14 and 15, another reference to Hijrah. The inhabitants of the land of Tamah brought water to him that was thirsty. They prevented with their bread him that fled, for they fled from the swords, from the drawn sword, and from the bent bow, and from the grievousness of war. So Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam made Hijrah, and the Ansar supported him with their bread. So this is also talking about Hijrah and the Ansar.
If the way you dress expresses how you feel, and your dress speaks about you, then your dress not only makes a statement, but it is an important part of your identity. These are American Muslim women. Their dress reflects their faith and their belief in modesty. This message has been brought to you by your American Muslim neighbors.
This public service announcement is brought to you by the Islamic Media Foundation.
Sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
In Isaiah 21, verses 16 to 17, "For thus has the Lord said unto me, within a year, according to the years of a hireling, and all the glory of Kedar shall fail, and the residue of the member of archers, the mighty men of the children of Kedar," it's actually Kedar, "shall be diminished, for the Lord God of Israel has spoken it." Who is Kedar? Or in English, Kedar. Who is that referring to? K-E-D-A-R. Well, let's let the Bible speak for itself. It states in Genesis 25:13, "And these are the names of the sons of Ismail, by their names according to their generations. The firstborn of Ismail, Nebachoth, and Kedar, and Adbeel, and Mibsam." So Kedar is one of the sons of Ismail. In the Bible, when it talks about the princes of Kedar, it is referring to the Arabs. Qidar. In Arabic it is Qidar. And the people of Quraysh are descendants of Qidar. Let's go back to the prophecy again. "For thus has the Lord said unto me, within a year, according to the years of a hireling, and all the glory of Kedar shall fail, and the residue of the number of archers, the mighty men of the children of Kedar, shall be diminished, for the Lord God of Israel has spoken it." What is this referring to? We just spoke about Hijrah, right? In verse 14-15, we spoke about Hijrah, and how the Ansar helped Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now we are in verse 16 and 17. What is the event that happened 1 year after Hijrah? And notice here that it says that the glory of Kedar shall fail, Quraysh, and the residue of the number of archers, the mighty men of the children of Kedar, shall be diminished. They will be killed. What is this referring to? The Battle of Badr. And the Battle of Badr occurred in the second year of Hijrah, 1 year after the Hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is referring to the battle of Badr. And it says that the mighty men of the children of Qidar shall be diminished. In the battle of Badr, one of the most decisive battles in the history of Islam, all of the leaders of Quraysh were killed. The leaders of Quraysh who were the most brutal in their war against Islam were eliminated. Abu Jahl, Umayyah bin Khalaf, Uqba bin Abi Mu'ayyad, and down the list one could go naming all of the names of the non-believers of Quraysh who died during the battle of Badr. In Isaiah 11 verses 1 and 2, "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord." Who is Jesse? According to the Encyclopedia Biblica, Jesse for Ishmael. So Jesse is a contraction of Ishmael. And then it goes on to say, "The changes which proper names undergo in the mouths of small children account for a large number of these particular abbreviations." Who could guess, to take modern examples, that Bob and Dick arose out of Robert and Richard? Such forms as in A were particularly common in later times, and many more in the Talmud, which also exhibits various other kinds of abbreviation. So, you have Bob standing for Robert. Wonder how small children would make that drastic change. But anyway, Jesse stands for Ishmael. So now that we know that Jesse is Ishmael, let's revisit the verse. "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse," meaning from the descendants of Ishmael, "and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge, and of the fear of the Lord." Now this prophecy cannot fit on anyone except Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he was the most prominent descendant of Ismail alayhi salam.
He's lazy. She's stupid. He's a racist. That one's greedy. And there's a terrorist.
If you look at people and all you see are labels, everyone loses.
Labels hurt all of us, and they're wrong.
Every one of us is unique, a one-of-a-kind original.
Every one of us is a one-of-a-kind original.
Every one of us is a one-of-a-kind original. Our diversity is our strength. Instead of stereotyping, we can all learn from each other.
Don't let prejudice shape your view. Take the time to get to know people and see for yourself who they really are.
We are all one, one of a kind.
Stereotyping is wrong, and it hurts all of us. Stop stereotyping.
A message from your American Muslim neighbors and the Islamic Media Foundation.
Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Deuteronomy 33:1. "And this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. And he said, The Lord came from Sinai and rose up from Seir unto them. He shined forth from Mount Paran. and he came with 10,000s of saints. From his right hand went a fiery law for them. So now Musa is speaking to the children of Israel before his death. He's giving them a prophecy. He's saying that the Lord came from Sinai, rose up from Seir unto them. He shined forth from Mount Paran. Sina is where the message of Musa came from. So this is referring to himself, Sina. Sa'ir in Arabic, or S-E-I-R in English, Sa'ir, stands for Isa. The message of Isa, because that is a series of mountains in Palestine, close to where Isa, Jesus, peace be upon him, lived. So that is referring to Isa alayhi salam. Mount Paran, again, is Mecca. So it's talking about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this is similar to what was mentioned in Surah At-Tin. وَالتِّينِ وَالزَّيْتُونِ وَطُورِ سِنِينَ At-Tin is figs. And figs is associated with Palestine. They grow a lot of figs. And then you have وَالتِّينِ وَالزَّيْتُونِ and also zaytun, olives. So these are referring to Musa and Isa. وَطُورِ سِنِينَ is referring to the message of same thing, Isa and Musa alayhi salam. وَهَذَا الْبَلَدِ الْأَمِينِ مَكَّةِ So it's a pretty similar thing in Surah At-Tin. But with this prophecy here, Musa alayhi salam is talking about his message, how that's the beginning of a da'wah, and then Isa alayhi salam will carry it further, but then it will rise from Paran. Meaning the fulfillment of the message will come from Mecca. It goes on to say, and he came with 10,000 saints. Who are the 10,000 saints? As-Sahaba radiallahu anhum, when they opened Mecca, Mount Paran. Fath Mecca was done by 10,000. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had 10,000 men with him when they opened Mecca. And from his right hand went a fiery law for them. And the right hand stands for truth, justice, and strength. The Paraclete also stands for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's a few verses in which this was mentioned. It's also sometimes translated as the Comforter. In John 16, verses 7 to 14, it states, Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will shew you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and he shall shew it unto you. I'm not going to go into explaining all of this, but I think the meaning is clear that this is referring to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So these are some of the prophecies mentioned about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Bible and some other events that happened during his mission. We're done with the pre-prophethood era, and now inshallah ta'ala we can start with the prophethood. صلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا
صلى الله على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم صلى الله على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم
This program has been sponsored by the Islamic Media Foundation, sharing the guidance of Allah through broadcast media and the internet.